having met the Banking Inquiry whistleblower, I know for a fact that one of the issues over which this person blew the whistle was the Banking Inquiry's refusal to invite me testify at the Banking Inquiry.
Do you know why they refused?
Well, perhaps you could ask members of the Banking Inquiry.
Philip Hall TD Michael McGrath was on that Banking Inquiry and is their finance spokesman. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, PJ. How are you?
I take it you know who Jonathan Sugarman is.
Yeah, I certainly do.
Why wasn't he invited before the Banking Inquiry?
Well, I mean, the Banking Inquiry got underway in earnest, really, in April 2015, when the public hearings commenced into the main elements of the inquiry. Yeah. And that's when we started with the banks and the Department of Finance, the regulator, Central Bank, and so on. And throughout the work of the Banking Inquiry, you had the constant threat of a general election being called at any time. And if that had happened, it would have brought down the inquiry.
What's that got to do with the fact that Jonathan Sugarman went to the Central Bank in 2007? So it wasn't like his information was new.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, just bear with me, PJ. And so we had a body of work that we simply had to get through. We would have worked collectively as an inquiry team on the advice given by the secretariat and the advisors to the Banking Inquiry. They would have put together a list of potential witnesses and would have made recommendations, and we would have accepted those recommendations. Now, Jonathan undoubtedly would have been an addition to the inquiry, would have been a competitor. But if the core point is that it would have been something entirely new to discover that the Central Bank was aware of regulatory breaches, then that's certainly not the case, because the Banking Inquiry found multiple examples where the Central Bank was informed and was acutely aware of breaches of regulation.
So why weren't the risk managers brought before the inquiry? Because they're the people whose duty it is to report the breaches. Why weren't those people brought before the inquiry?
Well, some were. The risk officer of EBS was brought before the inquiry in person as a public witness. There was a written statement from the group chief risk officer of Bank of Ireland, for example. But the focus in terms of the banks was to bring in the chief executives, the chairpersons, the senior directors of the banks who were ultimately responsible for what happened within those banks. And so they were all brought in. And the focus was on banks that ultimately imposed a cost on the taxpayer, the banks that had been included in the bank guarantee and will ultimately have to be recapitalised by the Irish state. And that's the 64 billion or so, which the net cost will end up being probably around half that. We don't know yet.
But Jonathan Sugarman's argument, Michael, is that if people had listened to him a year previously, we could have avoided that 64 billion.
Well, I mean, we did examine that question in detail over the course of the inquiry, which was working for about 18 months in total. And like there were several examples where even in 2007, and certainly in January 2008, where the financial regulator and the central bank were looking seriously at the prospect of the banks facing major liquidity issues and ultimately the question of whether or not the banks were insolvent. So like we had several examples, PJ, where the lending limits, for example, that the banks had to comply with, the concentration ratios, in other words, the amount of their lending book that they could lend to property construction, where those were breached, where the central bank was aware that those were breached back in, we're talking 2005, 2006, 2007, and there simply wasn't sufficient follow-up. So I don't accept the suggestion that any one person, if they were listened to, could have stopped what happened in late 2007. In many respects, the die was already cast at that stage because the banks had built up these bad debts.
But why was nobody... Here's a question. I want to put a second clip. Play a second clip of Jonathan and I'll come back to you with a question.
Sure.
To me, it was utterly shocking on the 13th of April this year to hear from members of the Finance Committee who had sat on the Banking Inquiry that not one risk manager of any Irish bank brought before the Banking Inquiry. Not one. It actually appeared that some of the members, the TDs and senators, I don't think they actually knew there was such a thing as a risk manager.
And from the clear and simple way you've explained it to me this morning,
Were I organising that banking inquiry, they'd have been lined up in alphabetical order on one day, on day one, to say, why did you let this happen?
With a guard standing there with handcuffs to take them from there straight into Mountjoy.
Were you at that meeting of the Finance Committee, Michael?
No, I wasn't.
Why not?
I had another meeting at that time, and so
With such an important witness, were you aware of his existence during the banking inquiry, for example?
Yes, because his name certainly came up, and he was down as a potential witness.
Did you never think to call him in and maybe hear his story?
Well, it came down really to a function of time, PJ, and that's being straight with you. There were many people that we would have liked to have brought into the inquiry, but you should also bear in mind that there was a trawl of extensive documentation of the risk committees, for example, the board minutes. Much of that is still online. There was a risk officer from EBS came before the inquiry. There was a group risk officer of Bank of Ireland gave a detailed written statement. But ultimately, the people within the banks responsible for risk.
Did any of the other ones say that they had gone to the central bank with a handwritten letter outlining that not only they, but their bosses were breaking the law?
No, because, the focus of the inquiry was on the banks that resulted in a cost being imposed on the Exchequer and on taxpayers. And that was the focus of the inquiry.
But sure, if the law was being breached and criminal activity was ongoing in the time leading up to the need for a bailout and a rescue in September 2008, should that criminal activity not have been criminally investigated? The banking inquiry effectively, Michael, found out nothing. No one has been held to account.
I think, you know, you're not presenting it in a fair way. The banking inquiry was an Oireachtas inquiry. It was not a criminal investigation. In fact, it had its two hands tied behind its back before it even started. The DPP was crawling all over the banking inquiry, warning the banking inquiry regularly that it could not encroach on the functions of the criminal justice system.
What use was it then?
Well, we made the point before the banking inquiry even started that it should have been done a different way. It should not have been an Oireachtas inquiry. It should have been a judicial inquiry running in parallel with a criminal inquiry. Now, criminal investigations have been held, and some are still ongoing, including the Sean Fitzpatrick case that you've probably been following in the media.
Yes.
But like, you need to understand the extent to which the banking inquiry was constrained, and there were barristers constantly in before the inquiry telling us what we could do.
Were the guards handed a copy of its report?
The report was published, so the guards have the report of the banking inquiry.
Have they acted upon it?
And equally, Jonathan Sugarman's testimony before the Finance Committee has been sent to the Gardaí. We are awaiting a response. We're meeting tomorrow. We'll hear whether or not there has been a response. And equally, it has been sent to the Central Bank. And I think, to be fair, at a personal level, it seems to me that he was treated very badly. And I heard him say that, you know, he has found it impossible to find work since then, that he has been blacklisted. And that is fundamentally unfair. And, you know, there is an issue of natural justice there, which I would accept needs to be dealt with. But
Something else that he said was that there is nothing has been put in place. Now, you're in opposition, I admit, but nothing has been put in place 6 years to stop the kind of thing that happened in 2008 happening again. He also referred to the IFSC, which, sure, it's a grand yoke and we make money out of it, but there is no rules in place to prevent the IFSC going up in our faces happening again.
Well, look, you're right, I am in opposition, but I don't accept that there haven't been changes since that banking crisis, and there has been a lot of new legislation giving extensive powers to the central bank. They seem to be much more active in terms of enforcing. assessment. You would have picked up a statement I made last week about AIB, for example, being fined €2.3 million because of their failure to comply with the anti-money laundering legislation and criminal justice.
We're talking $64 billion, Michael. $2.7 million isn't a drop in a bucket compared to the $64 billion.
Of course,
that it cost us.
That goes without saying, PJ, but I'm just making the point that my own observation and my own assessment is that the central bank is certainly more active in the enforcement area than they were in the past. You know, they have issues too, and the new issues would be, for example, that they can't keep staff. They have a high vacancy rate, including in supervision, in the insurance area. And we're all paying through the noses for our insurance. We'd like the central bank to be more active in that area. But overall, I think the body of legislation that they are working to and the powers that they have now are more effective.
Do you dispute?
Can guarantee that there's not going to be another banking crisis? Certainly not. But there have also been changes at EU level whereby the infamous bondholders would now be the first in line to take a hit in the event of a future banking
crisis. That's all very fine, but I mean, the risk manager, the fact is, if another risk manager does his or her job and arrives at the central bank with another handwritten letter and hands it to an official and is told, oh, that's grand, you're fine, you're grand. There's nothing there to stop that happening again.
Well, there is legislation in the form of protected disclosures legislation there to provide protection for whistleblowers who do bring issues to parties. That wasn't there back in 2007 when Mr. Sugarman made his complaint to the central bank. I know the central bank made a statement subsequently. They're saying that in August 2007, they were notified by UniCredit Ireland of an overnight breach of compliance with the then recently introduced requirements for liquidity risk. I believe they were brought in on the 1st of July 2007. Now, inexplicably, it took them 2 months to do an inspection of UniCredit. It was undertaken between the 3rd and 10th of October, so 2 months later, and the central bank said that on investigation, they were satisfied that the breach did not suggest a wider or more systematic erosion of overall liquidity. The bank was back in compliance with the limits within 24 hours of the breach. That was their statement. I'm not sure if you had that last week, but that was their statement in response to the issue.
What do you say to the people who've been messaging us over the weekend and are calling us again today with the very, very public view that because Mr. Sugarman knows what he's talking about and because he has a unique ability to communicate incredibly complex things in extremely simple language, that the fact is he'd have blown the banking inquiry wide open for the farce that it was?
I don't accept that it was a farce. I think it should have been done differently. That was our position from the very beginning.
Sure, you sat there. You sat there and took it in, Michael. You didn't stand up at any stage and say this is a farce.
We said at the very beginning that this wasn't the way to do it. But can you imagine the conspiracy theories if Fianna Fáil had not participated in that banking inquiry? We didn't decide on the nature of the inquiry or the format of the inquiry. We agreed to cooperate with it. And as the party's finance spokesman, I was duty-bound to go on the inquiry and make the best fist of it that I could. And I did that, and I spent 18 months...
And you yourself, you're advantaged as well in that you personally have a high level of financial qualification. So you would have had an ability to interpret Mr. Sugarman's evidence.
Well, look, I don't claim to be a banking expert.
No, but you're a financial controller by profession.
I am. I'm a chartered accountant, but the type of banking expertise that would be required is of a different nature entirely. And that was also the reason why we would have argued that this had to be an expert-led inquiry. Instead, you had politicians, TDs and senators who were supported by an inquiry team, given advice, and there was expert backup available, but the questioning was being done by members of the Oireachtas, who I personally believe it was not the best way to do it. And we would have said that from the very beginning, but I do not think it would be fair to say that it was valueless. If you look at the evidence that's there online, PJ, you know, have a look online, the Oireachtas Banking Inquiry, Google it. All the evidence books are there, including examples where breaches...
Nobody has been sanctioned properly for those breaches. How many arrests were made? None.
Well, look, there were some, and there were some convictions. I'm sure that...
Well, we have, Iceland has a population one-eighth our size. It has 25 senior bank officials in jail.
Yeah, well, look, we have a criminal justice system which is independent. PJ, politicians don't direct the DPP who to take to court. You know, the legislation is there. We have the Gardaí, we have all the various oversight bodies now. We have the DPP and we have the courts. And I don't think it would be a good day for Ireland if politicians started getting involved in directing who should or shouldn't go to jail. You know, that's not our function. And the Oireachtas Banking Inquiry's function was to look at the causes of the crisis, how it was handled, and to draw the lessons from it. And it did that with, as I say, the two hands tied behind its back, DPP crawling all over it, because it could not encroach anywhere near criminal issues. And so our examination of the Bank of Irish Bank, for example, which was half of the 64 billion, was constrained to a cursory glance. We weren't even able to go near it because of ongoing investigations of criminal cases. So,
do you think that 2008 Mark II could happen again?
I don't think anyone can say for sure that it could never happen again. I think that Ireland is much better equipped now to prevent it from happening, and I think the framework that is in place at EU level makes it much less likely. You now have the ECB as the single supervisor, essentially as the regulator, rather than the Irish Central Bank stroke regulator doing all of the regulation. It's now at the EU level by the ECB, and the Central Bank here would be acting as an agent of the ECB. And certainly my own work as finance spokesman and scrutinising legislation and looking at reports that are published, I certainly get the sense that the scrutiny is more vigorous than it was, and that the framework is better. But I don't think anyone can guarantee that we're not going to have another financial crisis.
Are you aware of the existence of the Banking Inquiry whistleblower, finally? Why did no one listen to that person?
And again, that was made in the course of the protected disclosure legislation, and that set out a procedure and was independently...
And on hearing what that person was saying...
Just bear me out.
Why wasn't it acted upon?
It was acted upon. In that a senior counsel, completely independent and outside of the Oireachtas, was brought in to examine that disclosure and to examine the nature of that complaint. And the simple fact is it wasn't stood up. Independent senior counsel that came in and examined it, who I think, to be fair, had no affiliation with the Oireachtas, had no affiliation with the banks or any item that was being examined by the Banking Inquiry. And so we got that report comprehensively debunked. Right. I think it's fair to say, that complaint.
All right, Michael.
That's the reality of it.
All right. Thanks for taking our call today. Thank you.
Thanks, PJ.
Cheers, Michael McGrath of Fianna Fáil, 1850 715 996. Does that answer any of your questions?